Here we are with the next chapter in this epic saga of Medicare Basics. But before I go a step further, please make sure you have access to that Medigap chart, the one we were using before, on page 8 of the presentation PDF, or open it up on another tab. We're going to play with that a lot in this section. Moving on to page 11 in the presentation PDF, I know that what you see there doesn't look like the PowerPoints or Excels that you're used to, that's for sure. But I kind of like being old school with these displays. I think they even might stick better in your brains. They're quirky. But what I can tell you about costs is really only limited. I'm only going to be able to talk about original Medicare. That's on the a la carte side of the chart. Because as you remember from the earlier audio, that the Advantage plans, the complete dinner menu, have their own pricing structures plan by plan, and they're not standardized in the same way as original Medicare. But parenthetically, I'll mention that some of Medicare's rules relating to pricing are built into those plans across the board, like the out-of-pocket maximum I told you about for HMOs. Now, across the top of this chart, then, are the four categories relating to costs: premium, deductible, copay coinsurance, and penalties. The first and last columns apply to the whole of Part A, and the two middle columns are broken down into the services that are grouped into this part of Medicare. We mentioned in the intro that if you're getting Medicare through your own 10-year work history or someone else's, there is no premium at all. If you haven't contributed into the system long enough to qualify for this, of course you will have to pay a premium. And here's where, if you do need those details about Part A premiums, you could find them pretty easily on the web. But most people don't need that information. And for these same most people, they're never going to get a penalty for not enrolling in Part A on time because, well, there's no premium. But if you are one of those people who does have to pay a premium and you're signing up later than when you should have, you would be getting a penalty. And you can look that up too, since it's rare. Now let's look at the two middle columns. Under deductible are listed the facilities and services in Part A: hospital, skilled nursing facility, that's SNF, home health care, and hospice. If you're admitted to the hospital as an inpatient, you started a benefit period, because Part A doesn't work annually. It works in benefit periods. It's counted off in days, and the day you're admitted becomes day one. This count stops when you slept in your own bed for 60 days in a row. So you could conceivably go into the hospital and then go into a nursing facility for rehab, but you'd still be in the same benefit period. Now you go home, let's say, so you're in that 60-day window at home before this benefit period stops. If you have to go back into the hospital or the rehab center for any reason whatsoever, it doesn't have to be the same illness or condition, it would still be the same benefit period. Only when you're home for those full 60 days does the count stop, which means, if you think about it, you can have more than one benefit period per year. These costs in Part A are not annual, as I said before. So for this year, 2026, you see the deductible is $1,736 for each benefit period. Now, who's going to pay for that? Well, if you haven't purchased a Medigap, unfortunately you do. I'd like you to grab a hold of that Medigap chart we were looking at for plan finders, and I'm now on the first side of that PDF. Try to find which row, which line down the left-hand side of the page talks about that hospital deductible. You see, it's the fourth one. So look to the right and see which of the plans cover it. Certainly F does, and G and N. Those are the ones we were talking about a lot before. So if you enroll in one of those that covers this deductible, you won't be seeing a bill for it. It'll be sorted out between Medicare and the Medigap. Referring back now to that funky Part A chart on page 11 of the presentation PDF, the third column, copays, coinsurances. There you'll see that in the hospital section, the first 60 days, of course after the deductible, are free. The zero there means you pay nothing, and your Medigap doesn't either. It doesn't have to, because Medicare pays for this. And 60 days is a lot of days. That's 2 months, all free. From day 61, there are costs per day, And this year, in 2026, there's a copay of $434 per day from day 60 to day 90. And from 91 to 150, it's doubled that, $868 a day. This last group, though, the 91 to 150, is different from the one before, 60 through 90. This group is called lifetime reserve days, which means once you use them, you can't get them back. So if I'm in the hospital for 95 days, those last five would be lifetime reserve. And if I had to go back into the hospital any time later in my life in a different benefit period, I'd only have 55 of them left, not the full 60. But perhaps I'd never need them. Think about it. I'd have to be very sick and need to go back into hospital many times, each time for more than 3 months, for these to run out. But of course, in another scenario, I could be in there for one long stay of 5 months, and they'd be used up that way, too. The Medigap is really a good help here. Where are they mentioned on the chart? In the row at the top there, under hospital coinsurance. By the way, you can choose not to use your lifetime reserve days and just pay the full cost of an inpatient stay. That's if it's cheaper, of course. I just realized I keep saying copay when this chart uses the term coinsurance a lot. I think a lot of us outside the industry call anything not picked up by Medicare copays. It's just easier than saying coinsurance. And I don't think we have to go into it now too much because even people in the industry don't seem to be all that strict with this terminology when they're talking to outsiders. Sometimes these expenses are in the form of a flat fee, like $25. Those are obvious copays. And sometimes it's a percentage, like the 20% you'll be having to pay out of pocket in Part B, but we'll get to that later. Look at the last line in that hospital coinsurance box for a moment. It says, payment in full for 365 additional lifetime days, which means that if you bought a Medigap, you get a lot more of these extra days than just Medicare's 60. And that's true for many retiree plans as well. Advantage plans, I'll say parenthetically, price this out differently. For example, they may make you pay a copay for the first 5 days of hospital care, then let you go free up to 90, and even beyond that, free. We're only talking original Medicare here. Notice that every single Medigap plan on this chart takes care of the hospital bills. Up till a point, that is. I feel a crushing need at this point to explain what being an inpatient means, because you may never get to that status in the hospital. To be inpatient and starting a new benefit period under this Part A, you have to be formally admitted by a doctor. But sometimes you think you've been admitted, and you're actually not. You could be in a room, you could be getting your meals, all these doctors and nurses are coming in to see you. You could be getting tests or x-rays done, the whole nine yards, yet still not be formally admitted. That's when you're under observation, and they have the right to do this. Because sometimes they haven't determined yet whether you need to be kept in the hospital. And sometimes they're waiting for test results before releasing you. It's usually 1 or 2 days. If this happens, though, all the services they're giving you are not being calculated under Part A, but under Part B, outpatient. So you always want to try to get your status from them if you haven't received a formal notice. And this formal notice is called a Medicare Outpatient Observation Notice. It's abbreviated MOON, but I really don't know how they refer to it when they're speaking to you because I never got one. Moon? Well, in any case, not knowing your status can be confusing or even worrisome, and not to mention, you may actually disagree with their decision on whether to admit you or not. Once you get formally admitted to the hospital, Part A will cover the services you received in the 3 days before that admission. And P.S., if you need to take medications in this period, you'll be using your own Part D drug plan. As of January 1st, 2025, you now have the right to file an appeal if the hospital has changed you from inpatient status to outpatient. But you have to meet certain criteria. And of course, this is for people in traditional Medicare. If you're in an Advantage plan, you were probably pre-authorized for the whole procedure before it happened, so this kind of status change doesn't occur. Enough with hospitals now, we're moving on to skilled nursing facilities. That's back in the cost chart on page 11 of the presentation PDF, the next line below hospital, SNF, skilled nursing facilities. This is rehab, not to be confused with that long-term care situation, which Medicare absolutely doesn't cover. And I would have made that point already if we'd played the whole Pandora's Ailments game way back in Chapter 2. There are a bunch of rules about going to a skilled nursing facility, but the tricky one is that Medicare will not pay for it if you haven't already been in the hospital for 3 days. That's three midnights. In fact, it's possible the skilled nursing facility won't even want to take you in without that three-day hospital stay, because if Medicare won't cover that bill, they'll have to go and chase you for it, and I don't think they want to do that very much. There's such a thing as a three-day rule waiver if you're in an Advantage plan or an ACO. I haven't mentioned ACOs, but these are accountable care organizations or groups of providers and facilities that share information about patients. I'll speak more about them in the last chapter, Bits and Pieces. Now, there's no deductible for this rehab situation, and the first 20 days are free. After that, there's a per-day copay of $217 a day in 2026. And then after day 100, you're on your own. The administration will warn you when that day 100 is coming and discuss with you your options for discharge or for staying on and paying in full. The next line down under SNF is home health care, and it's managed by an agency. That's when the doctor says you're homebound and need some form of skilled nursing or therapy, that's speech, occupational, physical therapy. And we did talk about this a bit in the game. Again, no deductible and no coinsurance either. And no round-the-clock care either. Just a certain amount of hours per week, either for the skilled nursing stuff or for the therapy. The last thing here on page 11 is hospice, and this too is run by an agency once the doctor has asked them to step in. There's no deductible for this, and the costs are really quite minimal. But you're not going into hospice to be cured. You're going to be given palliative care, which is pain medication, counseling, relief from suffering. You can get hospice at home or in a facility, but Medicare won't cover room or board if you're in the facility. The agency will take care of your skilled nursing, and they'll also arrange that whatever hospice doesn't cover would get picked up by Part A or B. And by the way, you can get some aid and homemaker services through hospice because the goal is to provide a safe and sanitary environment. In fact, original Medicare takes over for everything related to your terminal illness, but you can keep your normal insurance, including an Advantage plan, for things not related to that illness, as long as you keep up with the payments. Medicare will also pay for the counseling needed by the primary caregiver, that's the family member you're living with, and also for some respite care, which is adult daycare or some overnight so the caregiver can recover from what might be a stressful situation for them. On the Medicap chart, hospice is in the last row. Now we'll turn this cardboard contraption over and take a look at B&D. That's page 12 in the presentation PDF with the same four column headings. These parts run annually, not in benefit periods like Part A. Now, we do have premiums and penalties, so starting with Part B on the top left, most people will have a premium of $202.90 per month in 2026. And when I say most people, that's a standard amount based on an income level that's set each year by the government. And they'll be looking at your modified AGI, adjusted gross income, from 2 years back. So if you're single, your modified AGI 2 years ago had to be less than or equal to $106,000 a year if you're paying the standard amount. And for couples, just double that. The cap for the standard premium is $212,000 a year. People with higher incomes get to pay a surcharge, and that's called IRMA, Income-Related Monthly Adjustment Amount. IRMAA. And you'll find those brackets for IRMA if you just Google it. These IRMA surcharges go up in five tiers, ending at incomes of $500,000 for a single person and $750,000 for a couple. Now, the first tier above the standard premium, for example, is about 40% more, and the second tier is double the standard premium. Irma surcharges can change from year to year because Social Security looks at your taxes 2 years back, and they'll let you know what these amounts will be before the start of the new year. How does the billing work? Well, the Part B premium usually comes off your Social Security check, or they can bill you quarterly. You'd also get a monthly bill from Social Security for Part D IRMA. Yes, IRMA surcharges operate in the Part D drug situation as well, and any Part A premium that you might have to pay. Some people don't have the work history to get Part A for free. They have to pay a premium for a while. You can pay these bills online or by mail or as an automatic payment through your bank. You can have the Part D premium, not the IRMA surcharge, and any Advantage Plan premium off your Social Security or railroad payment. But you have to set those up through the plan itself, not those two agencies. The annual Part B deductible for everyone in traditional Medicare is $283 a year in 2026. And it's a no-no for providers to ask you to pay the deductible up front. Do everything you can to avoid this. Advantage plans don't have this deductible, but they may have a medical deductible of their own, separate and apart from their Part D drug deductible. And the basic idea here is that the government pays 80% of your Part B bills, and you're going to end up with the remaining 20. Who picks that up? All of the Medigaps, at least in some form or other. It's on row 2 of the PDF you've been working with. Part B outpatient stuff includes what it says on the left: doctors, labs, durable medical equipment, hospital, outpatient services. You're protected from some kinds of surprise billing in New York State. It might be good to check that out on the Department of Finance website. Look up surprise medical bills. A word about durable medical equipment, which I skipped in the game audio. Medicare doesn't pay for throwaway items like Band-Aids or plastic gloves. It does pay for equipment that should last more than 3 years, like walkers, scooters, oxygen tanks, traction items, those kinds of things. You rent these or buy these from a supplier, and you pay 20%. You have to call your plan to see which suppliers they work with if you have an Advantage plan, even when you're home getting home health care, which, remember, is under Part A. Equipment is still Part B, and the agency managing your home care will explain all that to you. The penalty for not having Part B when you should have taken it is 10% of the basic premium for each full year you delayed enrolling. But you can suspend it if, let's say, you start a new job that has a health plan and you don't need it anymore. I mentioned just now that the standard premium for an individual this year is $202.90 per month. So if you delay 12 full months or decide to skip Part B for a whole year, there'd be a penalty of 10% of that amount, which is roughly an extra $20 a month, or about $243 a year. Next year, the basic premium will probably go up, so the calculation comes out differently for that year and every year thereafter. You will never be able to lose this penalty. It's there for life. Now, finishing up with Part D, there are some major changes here coming from the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. The standard design means that the year starts with the deductible phase and then comes the initial phase. And finally, there's the catastrophic phase. You reach that last catastrophic phase when your out-of-pocket drug copays and your coinsurances add up to $2,100 in 2026. Once here, you wouldn't have to pay anything more than your premiums for the rest of the year. And that cap does not include quite a few things, like Part B drugs you might be taking, like for cancer, or drugs not on your plan's formulary, or drugs you purchase outside of your Part D plan or from abroad. By the way, the IRA included a 6% cap on Part D premiums, but that was only on the base premium, not the total premium that a plan charges. The base premium in 2026 is $38.99, but most premiums are much higher. One local premium is 4.5 times that amount. Unfortunately, this IRA law doesn't do enough to counter the high cost of drugs in general, and most people feel that Congress is not acting fast enough on this issue. The maximum Part D deductible set by Medicare in 2026 is $615. But you'll see in the plan finder that some plans have a deductible and some don't. And that's because this standard design for these drug plans is not obligatory. Some don't have a deductible, and some have fixed copays rather than percentage coinsurances. Each plan can divide its tier system of generics and brand name drugs in its own way, or set the quantity limits or the prior authorizations and the like, pretty much the way they want to. I guess according to the regulations. You do not have to keep track of this. The plan does. And remember, you may be able to lower your drug costs by choosing generics over brand names and using biosimilars instead of the original biological products. You have to ask your doctor about that. By the way, the word biologic is new in the Medicare and New Handbook. A biologic is a medicine that comes from a living organism or its cells, like insulin or antibodies. They're harder to produce than normal drugs, and when you self-administer them, they're in Part D, otherwise they're in Part B. When you use the plan finder, you might also want to be aware that there are basic Part D plans and enhanced ones, and it's too difficult to go into that here. But the pricing structures vary greatly. And when you compare your choices in the plan finder, you'll find that how much your out-of-pocket cost will be might work out considerably less in one type of plan than the other. The average monthly cost for a standalone drug plan nationwide will be just over $34.50 a month in 2026. That's the total average, which is the sum of the average basic premium and the average supplemental premium for plans with enhanced coverage, like what you get in some employer plans. Now, if you look at the back pages of the Medicare and New Handbook, where you can see the Part D plans available in this area, I see the lowest cost premium is more than $42 a month, and that's 11 times what it was a couple of years ago. And the most expensive one is $173.60 per month. This is legislation in action, big business adapting itself to the legislation passed in 2022. By the way, the Medicare and New Book is printed before they make the final list of Part D plans, so you may very well find a cheaper one in the plan finder online than in the printed book. That happened at the end of 25, where the plan finder is showing an additional plan for $35.70, which wasn't in the book at all. Social Security bases the Part D IRMA charge, that's the income-related monthly adjustment amount for higher incomes, on what they call the National Base Beneficiary Premium, which in 2026 is $38.99 per month. The IRMA surcharge is paid to Medicare. It's not paid to your drug plan. As for the Part D penalty, and there is one, Medicare says you're not allowed to go more than 63 days without what's referred to as, quote, creditable coverage, unquote. And that means your coverage has to be at least as good as Medicare's standard prescription drug coverage. The penalty this time is different. It'll be 1% for each month you don't have Part D or creditable coverage, and it's based on that national base beneficiary premium I mentioned just now, around $39 a month, rounded to the nearest 10 cents. That penalty never goes away. You can't enroll in Part D whenever you want to. If you miss the enrollment periods available to you, you'll be accumulating monthly 1% until the next one comes along. That might be months away. Talking about enrollment, that comes in the next chapter, and that's going to be on page 13 of the presentation PDF. But that page says absolutely nothing, so you don't even have to look at it. If you're on Medicare already, you might even want to skip that section on enrollment. And yet, maybe you know somebody who needs to be pushed into action, and you'd really be a good Samaritan if you pass the information in there onto them.